From physics to psychic is just a quantum leap. For the next hour, Santa Barbara author and psychic Pam Oseley is ready to take your call at 564-1290.
Pam provides valuable insight into your personal world,
your relationships, and how you can be more consciously aware of creating the life you want, the life you deserve. Call now, 564-1290, and make the leap.
Hello, Pamela.
Good afternoon, Kat.
You are dressed lovely today, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for showing up.
Spring.
It's radio, but thank you. I appreciate it.
Justin, it's gorgeous out, isn't it?
Oh, my goodness. Absolutely. Yes, we do live in paradise, and we also have Pamela in here every Wednesday afternoon. Sometimes we take calls for Pam. Today, we're taking one special call. We have a special guest. Dr. Christian DeQuincy is a professor of philosophy and consciousness studies at John F. Kennedy University. He's also dean of consciousness studies at the University of Philosophical Research, founder of the Wisdom Academy. And why do I get the impression I'm going to fail this interview?
I know. Kat, let's keep up with how this guy is really intelligent.
This is great. Dr. Quincy, do you prefer Dr. Quincy, or can we call you Christian, or...
Well, you can call me Christian, if you want to call me Doctor, it's Dr. DeQuincy.
Oh, DeQuincy. I'm sorry. See, I've already failed. I flunked. I have to go back to the beginning of the class.
We're just teaching him how to read.
Exactly.
So
well, speaking of reading, I mean, you've written some incredible books, award-winning Radical Nature and Radical Knowing. You have a new novel out called Deep Spirit that we'll talk about here in the hour. It's Cracking the Noetic Code is the subtitle of that one, but I'm holding in my hands here Consciousness, From Zombies to Angels, The Shadow and the Light of Knowing Who You Are. And Pam, I think that's the problem. I need to read this book so I can acquire consciousness.
That's right. Well, I love doing the show because I get to choose the people that I want on the show, and I always like to have people that know how to talk about consciousness. So, Christian, first of all, can you give us a little bit of your background so we can figure out how you got interested in consciousness?
There is a story there to tell. I first became aware of consciousness as something that I was interested in many, many years ago as a kid in Ireland. I was born and grew up in Ireland, and one rainy afternoon, and we have many of those in Ireland, I was alone at home. My brother was out somewhere else playing, and I had no one to play with. So out of boredom, I picked up my father's old, tattered encyclopedia that he had inherited from his father. And I started scanning through it and came across a drawing of a dinosaur. And that caught my attention. And it was attached to an entry on evolution. And so I started reading, and I understood enough to realize that not only had I come from my parents, and they had come from their parents, and so on all the way back to the beginning of humanity, but that humans had come from some prior ape-like ancestors, that had come from some other mammals, that had come from reptiles, that had come from amphibians, that had come from fish, that had come from jellyfish, and all the way back to what that encyclopedia called single-celled infusoria, and today we would call them bacteria. So mm-hmm. I was astounded to realize that my earliest ancestors were bacteria. But, you know, more than that, I then asked myself the question, so if it all began with bacteria, and here I am today, a human being, and there are millions of years of evolution in between, where in the great unfolding of evolution did this consciousness, this ability to wonder and question, when did that first arise? And I probably didn't know the word consciousness back then, but I certainly knew the word thinking and wondering. And so I wondered, where did this ability to wonder first come into being? And so I looked over at my dog, and I was pretty sure that he had it. At my cat, and I was pretty sure that she had it. And then over to the fish bowl and kind of went eye to eye with the fish, and after a moment or two of hesitation decided, yep, the fish has it as well. And then I thought, well, what about the worms out in the back garden? Do they have consciousness? And I really couldn't decide. You know, there was nothing really to demonstrate that. There was no connection with the worms. And so that question remained in my mind for a long time. Somewhere between worms and fish, it apparently seemed to be the case, that consciousness came into being.
Kind of a good connection there, actually.
Yeah, and so between worms and fish, yeah. So so for many years, that question kind of lurked in the background. And then when I grew into my teens and 20s and became interested in deeper issues, that question began to come back to the forefront of my awareness. And I started studying evolutionary biology and psychology, and none of them answer the question, where did this consciousness first come into being? So then I said, well, really, this is a philosophical question, and I started studying philosophy. And I don't know if you've ever read any modern books in philosophy, but it's like there are two English languages. There's the language we speak, and then there's the language that philosophers speak.
Right.
And so although I understood the words on the page, by the time I got to the end of the page, it was a little bit like a Chinese meal that I'd forgotten what I'd read above.
Mm-hmm.
Thick. So I then turned to Eastern philosophies, Buddhism and Taoism in particular, and Hinduism, and was delighted to find a whole body of literature that was focused on consciousness. And so I dived into that and spent many years studying the different spiritual traditions of the East. But they also did not answer the question, where in the great unfolding of evolution did consciousness first arise? So in desperation, I went back to Western philosophy, and this time I was determined to crack the code of Western philosophical jargon, and I succeeded. And what I discovered in the work of a great British philosopher called Alfred North Whitehead is that the answer to my lifelong question, where in the great unfolding of evolution did consciousness first arise, was very simple. The answer was nowhere. It didn't arise anywhere because it was there all along. There never was a time when there wasn't consciousness. It was there in my dog, in my cat, in my goldfish, and indeed in the worms in the back garden. And even beyond that, in the cells of the worms and the molecules and the atoms, and all the way down to subatomic particles and quarks or quanta or superstrings, or whatever it is that is the fundamental basis of physical reality, there is some trace of consciousness there as well.
So consciousness came before everything else, regardless of the physicality of that evolution.
No, actually, both came together.
Oh, okay.
There was always physicality, there was always matter or energy,
uh-huh.
and there was always consciousness.
Oh, okay.
Essentially, what we call matter or energy, at any level, tingles with the spark of spirit or with the spark of consciousness. So there is no level of the material world that doesn't have some trace of consciousness.
Mm-hmm. It's fascinating.
And I know you spent the entire book, which I love reading, by the way, discussing this, but can you explain to the listeners what are we discovering about consciousness? What is it?
You want to answer that question in 45 minutes?
I'm not sure we can do that, as you're implying, but we also have to take a break, and maybe we should start that when we come back.
Very good.
Excellent. We're speaking with Dr. Christian DeQuincy. He is a PhD, and he's written several award-winning books that I mentioned earlier, but I want to talk to you about Deep Spirit and his most recent book, which we're going to talk about here in depth as well, which is Consciousness, the subtitle, Consciousness from Zombies to Angels, The Shadow and the Light of Knowing Who You Are, Seven Steps to Greater Self-Awareness. Dr. Christian DeQuincy, and his website is deepspirit.com. Very easy to remember, deepspirit.com, just as it sounds. Check that out during our break. And when we come back, more with Dr. DeQuincy and Pamela Owsley on AM 1290 Santa Barbara News Press Radio. Good afternoon. It's AM 1290, Santa Barbara News Press Radio. That means Pamela Owsley is in the studio. She's a professional psychic and author. Her website is auracolors.com, auracolors.com. Her meditation CDs and books are available on her website. Of course, you can also listen to all of our archive shows on that website as well. Today, we're not taking calls for Pam. We are speaking with Dr. Christian DeQuincy. He's a professor of philosophy and consciousness studies at John F. Kennedy University, amidst a variety of other titles, like the founder of the Wisdom Academy, which is, that's intimidating me, sir. And we are talking about a couple of different things. Consciousness is the main thing from his book, Consciousness from Zombies to Angels, which is available at Amazon.com. You can also go to his website, deepspirit.com. And ironically, DeepSpirit.com is showcasing your most recent book, Deep Spirit, Cracking the Noetic Code. You have to come back sometime and tell us about that as well.
You bet. Yep.
Okay, so yes, I asked the big questions. What do we know about consciousness? I'm totally amazed that science hasn't been studying this for a long time, but as you explain in your book, it's hard for them to turn around and look inside.
That's right. So we'll talk about science and consciousness in just a moment, but I did want to answer your question just before the break about what is consciousness. And in simple terms, consciousness is the ability to know and to feel and to make choices. So the fact that we can know anything, that we feel anything, and can create intentions and make choices, that means we have consciousness. So anything that can feel or know anything, like my dog and my cat, my goldfish, indeed even the worms out in the back garden, they feel something. Have you ever gone fishing? You know, put a worm on a hook?
Mm-hmm.
It's clear that worms feel something. So they have to have consciousness. So consciousness is the ability for anything to feel. So a beer can doesn't feel anything, or a cigarette butt doesn't feel anything. Your computer doesn't feel anything. Your automobile doesn't feel anything. Although I must say, sometimes, working with a computer, they do tend to crash just at the most inopportune times.
Well, I know I'm going to raise some problems here if I say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I think computer is a woman, but maybe you could set me straight on that.
It might have had a gender change.
I actually like two of the statements you make in your book about consciousness, if I might. One of them where you say consciousness is the cosmic storyteller, and consciousness is intrinsically sentient energy.
Right. Very good. So, as you will remember, there's a part in the book where I talk about watching our language, because so many people use the language of energy. They use energy talk when talking about consciousness. They talk about the vibrations of consciousness, or the frequencies of consciousness, or the field of consciousness, or the mechanism of consciousness. And these are all terms borrowed from physics. There's a kind of physics envy.
Mm-hmm.
If we use the language of physics, it makes it seem more respectable, more grounded or something.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, the language of physics is completely inappropriate for talking about consciousness. The consciousness, as I said, is the ability to feel and to know and to make choices. And none of those can be explained in terms of vibrations or waves or frequencies or mechanisms. So we need to use a different language other than the language of energy when talking about consciousness. So that means that there's an important difference between energy on the one hand and consciousness on the other. Energy is something that occupies space, particularly when it takes the form of matter. But consciousness doesn't occupy any space. I sometimes ask my students to point to where they think their consciousness is. You know, you might have your listeners do that right now. Point to where you think your consciousness is. And sometimes most people will point to their head, and some people will point to their heart. And then the more enlightened people will kind of do what I call the consciousness wiggle, and they'll wave their arms around their entire body. and I point out that actually it was a trick question, that consciousness doesn't exist anywhere. You can never locate it. You know, if you open up somebody's head, you're not going to find their consciousness in there. So the correct question to ask about consciousness is not where is consciousness, because it doesn't exist anywhere. The question is, when is consciousness? And the answer, of course, is it's always now. Consciousness is always now at the present moment. So although there's a difference between energy and consciousness, they always go together. You never have energy that doesn't have consciousness, and you never have consciousness that isn't embodied in some kind of energy. So it's important, I think, for us to pay attention to the language that we're using when talking about consciousness, and kind of break the habit, because it is a habit, of using the physics envy of energy talk when talking about consciousness. And instead of using words like vibration and mechanism and field, even non-local, let's use the words that are specific to consciousness. We have a rich vocabulary such as intention, attention, perception, feeling, meaning, choice, value, purpose, goals. These are all terms that we all know and use regularly. This is the language of consciousness, the language of the mind, not the language of physics, of vibrations and fields and mechanisms.
So, Christian, I have another big question for you then. I'm sure people are listening going, what's important about understanding consciousness? How does this improve my life? How does knowing more about it, I mean, is it magical? Can I do something with it? Is it, why is it important to know, and how can we use it?
Well, what a great question. And it's important in many ways. Of course, it depends on what your purpose is. If you want to understand something, then you will approach it in terms of coming up with a clear way of thinking about it. And so that's where using the correct language is important. But there's a much more important reason for studying consciousness, and that's not so much to understand it, but to experience it and cultivate it, which is now transitioning from philosophy and science into the spiritual traditions and shamanistic traditions. So consciousness is our ability to know and to feel. So what do we know? How do we know anything? Another question would be, how can we tell, as I was questioning as a little kid, how can we tell if anybody else has consciousness? Not just the worms or the dogs or the cats or the fish, but even human beings. How do you, for example, you know, I don't know if you can see each other right now in the studio, but if you do,
unfortunately,
how,
yes.
How do you know that the person you're looking at actually has consciousness? We assume it, right? But how do you know that for sure? Have you ever thought about that?
Actually, I think he's one of the zombies.
Hey!
Well, there you go. So if he doesn't have consciousness, he's a zombie who talks and walks and squawks like a human.
Uh-huh.
But if there's no consciousness there, then he would be a zombie. That's the philosophical definition of a zombie. It's
right.
A creature that looks like us with a brain exactly like ours, but there's nobody home. There's no consciousness. There's no awareness taking place within that body. So how where it becomes important is in the case of somebody falling into a coma. You remember some years ago the Terry Schiavo case,
mm-hmm.
where
mm-hmm.
the big battle went right up to the Supreme Court about whether or not they should pull the plug.
Mm-hmm.
Her husband, basically, as I recall, said she's essentially brain dead. She's just a vegetable. There's nobody home. She was just a lump of meat, was his perception. Her family, her parents, her family on the other side, no. Don't pull the plug because she may come back to consciousness at some point.
Mm-hmm.
So the doctors and, in fact, ultimately the legal system was faced with the dilemma. How do we decide this? Because there's no such thing as a consciousness meter. You know, you can't just plug a probe into somebody and see whether or not they have consciousness going on. Because an instrument, a physical instrument, can only detect physical events. Consciousness is non-physical, so there's no way of detecting consciousness using physical instrumentation. The only way to detect consciousness is through consciousness itself, and that's where shamanic work and spirituality come in, that we need to cultivate the sensitivity in consciousness so we can actually have what's called intersubjective communion, where we know through in our own consciousness, we actually experience the consciousness of the other person.
Mm.
That happens when we fall in love, doesn't it? You know, we know we are in love with the other person, and if we really pay attention, we can tell whether or not they are in love with us. That's an intersubjective communion, where we know not through some physical means, but through our own experience, the experience of the other person.
And that sounds like they would take some coursework to get to that level of understanding or awareness, wouldn't it?
It usually does, and fortunately, it happens naturally when people fall in love,
mm-hmm.
But beyond those situations, we do have to pay attention and cultivate awareness and cultivate presence. You know, we don't have to be in love with somebody to know that they have consciousness. We can do it with the local storekeeper or with the bus driver,
mm-hmm.
or anybody we meet, the postman. We can just pay attention and be fully present to their presence and actually have that intersubjective communion.
Wow. We're going to have to take a break, unfortunately. We're speaking with Dr. Christian DeQuincy, author of Consciousness, From Zombies to Angels, even though Pam just called me a zombie. The Shadow and the
You're
Light
the
of,
zombie on the angel.
Of Knowing Who You Are, of course, absolutely. We will come back and talk more with Christian in just a moment. Also, speaking to him about his new book called Deep Spirit, Cracking the Noetic Code. All of these books, all of his writings, and his biographical information, it can be found at his website, deepspirit.com, deepspirit.com. More with Christian and Pamela when we come back. You're listening to AM 1290 Santa Barbara News Press Radio.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are not necessarily those of AM 1290 or the Santa Barbara News Press. The program's validity is for you to decide.
Good afternoon. You're listening to AM 1290 Santa Barbara News Press Radio. We're live on the web at newspress.com. On Wednesday afternoons is professional psychic and author Pamela Owsley. Her website is auracolors.com, A-U-R-A-colors.com. All of her shows are archived there, along with her meditation CDs and her books, of course. If you'd like to get a hold of Pam for a private reading, then you may get in touch with her via email or even phone number on her website at auracolors.com. Now, today, we're not taking calls for Pam. We are speaking with doctor and author Christian DeQuincy. His most recent book is called Deep Spirit. He has his deepspirit.com website. We're also speaking about consciousness, his book Consciousness, From Zombies to Angels. All of these books found on his website. You can also get them online, of course, at Amazon.com. Dr. Quincy, can you buy the books through your website or just through Amazon? Or
You can get them at Amazon, and you can also get them from my other website, which is thewisdomacademy.org.
Excellent. Wisdomacademy.org. And you also
have a blog.
The Wisdom. I've got to put the D in there. Make sure you include the article. Thewisdomacademy.org. And what's your blog's address as well?
The blog is thewisdomblog.wordpress.com.
Okay, I'm sure if we Google Dr. DeQuincy, that's D-E-Q-U-I-N-C-E-Y, two words, DeQuincy, then or any of these, like Deep Spirit, we'll find you everywhere. So, very good.
His consciousness is everywhere.
Yeah.
Plus, I want to announce to people that he is also one of the amazing speakers that's going to be at the conference on science and consciousness in Santa Fe, New Mexico, actually coming up starting this weekend.
Wow.
March 27th, and he'll be speaking on March 28th. So anyone that is in the mood to go to Santa Fe, New Mexico, I'm telling you, this is an amazing conference. There are phenomenal speakers there. So if you get a chance. Otherwise, if you want to see their upcoming ones, the ones they do, it's bizspirit.com, B-I-Z-spirit.com. And you can learn more about Christian DeQuincy on that also.
Now, Dr. DeQuincy, it's a little hard to compress consciousness into an hour, is it not?
Yep. we're doing fine, I think.
That's the simple answer. Well, we always like to, I'm really fascinated by the bottom, the sub title that you have in your book, Seven Steps to Greater Self-Awareness. Now, one of my questions is always, how can this help people in their everyday lives? So you've got seven steps to greater self-awareness. Now, how is that going to help people?
Well, good. Let's go back. Before the break, you humorously called Kat a zombie.
Yeah.
And I think we need to spring to his defense here for a moment. I would agree he is a zombie, but so are we all. But we are not only zombies, we are also angels, which is why the book is titled that. We all have our own inner demons and our own dark side, you know, that part of ourselves that we're afraid of, we're afraid other people might know, we're afraid it might be true of ourselves, parts that we're ashamed of or guilty or anger. You know, the dark emotions we all have, we're human beings.
Oh, yeah.
Of course we have these going on. But most of the time since childhood, we've been conditioned to suppress the darker emotions down deep, deep below into the unconscious. And where they churn away, they never go away, they just churn away and come out as projections that we then project onto other people and the world. And so when somebody triggers us and something happens in the world that makes us angry, and right now I'm thinking of AIG, Yeah, so we project it onto them. But this, you know, we all have our own inner AIG executives.
Mm.
We all have those going on. We don't want to admit that. We don't want to look at that. This is not to get them off the hook, by the way. But we all have that going on. But not only do we suppress the, you know, what I call the miserable self. We all have our own miserable side. But we also suppress our magnificence, our greatness, our aptitudes, our abilities, our potentials. We suppress those as well. We are as afraid of our greatness as we are afraid of our failures. And so what the book is about is recognizing that to be fully who we are, to realize our full potential in the world, we need to acknowledge our dark side, our shadow side, as well as our light side, the angel side. So we need to acknowledge we are both zombie and angel, shadow and the light, and to then integrate those. That is what allows us to draw on the creativity that we have to express ourselves in the world, in relationships, in art, in music, in writing, in politics, in doing the right thing in the world, it, as long as we are using our energy to keep those demons, the shadow, the zombies in place, that energy is not available for creativity. So, as we understand consciousness, we can begin to open up to experiencing it in a deeper way. So, for example, if we understand that it's okay to experience our fears, not to run away from them, not to project them, not to suppress them, not to come up with defense mechanisms, but to actually allow ourselves to feel what is really going on with us, that becomes the open sesame to then releasing not only the darker side, it then transforms into the lighter side, into our creativity. We need to integrate our angels and our shadow, our angels and our zombies, our shadow and our light.
So by suppressing any part of us, we basically keep us from living our full potential and, and from being fully alive.
You bet, yes.
So what comes up for me, Dr. DeQuincy, is how do we then allow ourselves to release this energy, say the dark side, or play with it or understand it so that it's not a, in a negative, self-harming or world-harming way?
Well, I, in Consciousness from Zombies to Angels, towards the back of the book, I have what I call seven steps to transformation, or seven steps to experience the unbelief. And I'm not going to go through all of them, but basically it is recognizing that we all have beliefs about who we are and about other people and about the world that we live in, but not to believe our beliefs. I have a chapter in there where I critique the idea that we create our own reality through what we believe. I just don't think that notion stands up to scrutiny. Beliefs never created anything. Beliefs don't have any potency at all. What does have potency is intention, and it's important to recognize the difference between a belief and an intention. An intention is an expression of the soul itself, of our deepest spirit. A belief is a frozen fragment of consciousness. It's like taking a experience. And then it freezes that moment.
Could you say that last sentence again? Sorry, we lost the audio there.
Yeah. A belief is a frozen fragment of consciousness. It's like taking a snapshot of a moment of experience, and then we collect these snapshots, these frozen fragments, which are our thoughts and our beliefs, and then we start putting them together into belief systems and ideologies and dogmas and theories, religious theories, scientific theories, but every belief is always frozen sometime in the past. And as long as we are focusing our attention on our belief systems rather than on what we are actually experiencing right now in the moment, we are missing out on our connection to reality. Because reality happens right now, right now, right now. And that's exactly when consciousness and experience is happening, right now, right now, right now. So we need to cultivate the ability to pay closer attention to what we are actually feeling. And by feeling, I mean literally the sensations in our bodies, our breathing, our heartbeat, our temperature, any pains or aches we might have. These are all messages that we need to pay attention to. And as we do that, then the wisdom of the body begins to rise, bubble up to the surface, and that's how we can then express the deeper creative aspects of our soul.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Lost for words. We're like deep in thought now.
Yeah, I'm going within.
So that's how we can then live our lives from this very moment, and we tap into it, our creativity in this very moment, and usually that's not going to be a destructive thing. That's usually a creative thing.
Yeah, yes, experience is creative.
Mm-hmm.
And whereas beliefs tend to become habitual. They're habits. They're habits of mind. And when we act from beliefs, we're really acting as machines.
Mm-hmm.
We're losing out on the vitality that is there present in the moment. So what I'm trying to get people to pay attention to in my work and in my new books is to pay much closer attention to your actual experience. What are you experiencing right now? Because that's the That's the doorway to wisdom. That's the doorway to a creative life. That's the doorway to healing. We don't heal ourselves if we have problems through paying attention to belief. No belief system ever healed anything. What does heal is paying attention to the meaning that's in our bodies, paying attention to the experiences in our bodies. That brings consciousness right into the present moment and connects it with reality, which is where the healing force resides.
Is this something that can be taught to children?
I think so. I tend to work with adults and in the colleges that I teach at, but I see no reason at all why this couldn't be formulated. But, you know, let's step back a little bit. Children, most, it depends on the age, most children have not yet been conditioned or educated
right.
into not paying attention to their feelings. So as kids, we probably don't need to be taught this. It's natural. It's something that is educated out of us. And so we, as kids, we're running around. We are so deeply in our bodies. And then as we grow up and become responsible adults, we become less and less attentive to our actual embodiment, and we get more and more confined in our heads and into what we think.
Funny, Dr. DeQuincy, you said responsible adults, and I heard zombie.
So we have to learn not to teach the kids out of what they already know. They're more in the moment than we are.
It sure seems that way. It's sometimes hard to remember back what it was like when we were kids, except when we get into those moments of spontaneity or playing with other kids, then we realize that it's still there within us. We never lose that because the body itself always is in the moment. It's always expressing its wisdom.
Right.
We need to pay closer attention to that. We don't have to think about it. That's the other thing, is that we don't have to think about the body's wisdom. It's just there. All we have to do is pay attention to it and feel it. It's the same with dreams. You know, interpreting dreams is not going to be very useful if we try to think about it cognitively. The way to work with dreams is not to think about the dream, but to feel the residue of the dream as it stays with us throughout the day.
And when we can become more attuned to that, not just the dreams, but all of life, like you say, that experience in the moment, when we're resonating with that, feeling that, then we're more alive, more present, more now.
Okay.
Wow.
We have to take a break.
We're talking with Dr. Christian DeQuincy. He's a professor of philosophy and consciousness studies at John F. Kennedy University, dean of consciousness studies at the University of Philosophical Research, and founder of the Wisdom Academy. His website is deepspirit.com. That's his new book title, Deep Spirit. He's also written many other books, award-winning, but most recently, Consciousness from Zombies to Angels, which we've been talking about. He has the wisdomacademy.org website as well, and his Wisdom Academy blog. We'll talk more with Dr. DeQuincy and Pamela Osley when we return. You're listening to AM 1290, Santa Barbara News Press Radio. Good afternoon. You're listening to AM 1290, Santa Barbara News Press Radio. Pamela Osley, our professional psychic and author, in the studio on Wednesday afternoons. Her website is auracolors.com, A-U-R-A-colors.com. Check it out for her website. Yeah, check her website out for her website from the Department of Redundancy Department. Now, check it out for her meditation. Yeah, I'm a zombie. I'm proud of it. Check it out for her meditation CDs, her books, and, of course, the archive shows. We're like up over 150 or something now.
If you want to go back and listen to this show, because there's a lot of content. Go back and really
great
listen
stuff.
To it.
Yeah, absolutely. Today we're speaking with Dr. Christian DeQuincy. He is a philosopher and, an academic professor, but I guess we all can claim to be philosophers at times. But he's written several books, award-winning books, like Radical Nature, Rediscovering the Soul of Matter, Radical Knowing, Understanding Consciousness Through Relationships. So your whole life, from that story you told us about picking up your father's book, has been about consciousness. I find that fascinating.
Yeah, who knows what our destiny is or how it comes to be, but certainly the gods or the genes or whatever it is that determines our path in life selected me to be somebody to focus on consciousness and become my passion and my career in life.
Very cool.
I want to get into discussing deep spirit, but I have one last quick question for you. Do you see more and more evolution and discussions about consciousness? Like, that's where we're going now?
Well, there's more and more conversation about conscious evolution. and the role of consciousness in evolution. And it really depends, you know, which eye you look out of. You look out of your right eye or your left eye, is there any evidence that things are evolving in the right direction? Certainly, we read the mass media, there's plenty of evidence that things seem to be going down the tube pretty fast. But at the same time, as the ancient Chinese realized, every crisis also has the seeds of opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And so my sense and the people that I hang out with basically think that, yes, it looks like we are heading in for some dark times, but it's like going through a tunnel that we need to go through, like a birth process, that we need to go through this painful process of the collapse of the economy, perhaps even to some degree the collapse of the environment, and then coming out the other end. Those of us who survive, we're not all probably going to survive, will have deepened their learning and their wisdom, and hopefully those that come after this phase in evolution will not repeat the mistakes that we seem to be intent on making this time around.
That's great. So talk to us about Deep Spirit. This is your latest book?
Yes, it is, and in some ways what I've just mentioned is the theme of Deep Spirit. It's a novel, but it's a novel that's based on fact, and it's a novel about the evolution of consciousness. The tagline that I use to give people a sense in a phrase is, sometimes evolution gets it wrong, and we've got one last chance to get it right. So the big question is the human species an evolutionary mistake? There's plenty of evidence that might be the case. And there's no guarantee that any species, including the human species, is going to last forever. In fact, it seems to be the fate of every species that sooner or later they come to an end. So that's what the novel explores. Are we moving in the right direction? And if we're not, what can we do about that? And so it's a story between scientists on the one hand and shamans on the other, working to put into effect what I call the noetic code, which is a way of developing consciousness that counteracts the destruction that's being visited on the world by the corporate systems, the financial systems and the corporations that are based on greed and exploitation of the natural environment, that we need some way to counteract that, and that's where shamanism and spirituality come into play, by developing consciousness.
Oh, this is great. So I love reading nonfiction, but for people who prefer fiction, that sounds like a perfect way to explore this whole concept.
Yeah, and as I said, that it's written as fiction, but the content is based in fact.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the characters are fictional characters, and other characters are real historical beings.
Mm-hmm. Now, Christian, I might be wrong, but deep inside you feel like an optimist to me as opposed to a pessimist. So I'm assuming that there's lots of things in the book that can help people do something about their lives or help this have a positive outcome, right?
Well, yes. I mean, the fact is that we all have the capacity to make choices. And one of the fundamental choices that we have to make is to wake up, to stop being zombies, to stop running as machines, to stop being motivated by fear and greed, and to recognize that we are all interdependent. And by all, I don't just mean human beings, and this is one of the other main themes of all my work, including Deep Spirit and Consciousness from Zombies to Angels, is that we are interdependent with all other species. That I mentioned earlier, that consciousness goes all the way down at every level of the world, in cells and atoms and molecules. Well, so all the other species that we are surrounded by are constantly in communication with us, and this is what shamans do. We need to learn to pay attention and learn from the wisdom of other species.
That's great. So in the few minutes we have left, is there anything you would like to say to the audience? Any gifts, any messages that are really important to you?
You mean besides reading my book?
Well, that's a given.
Yeah, but we like hearing that.
Yes, read the books. Books, plural.
Well, yes, I'll just go back to a point I made earlier, and that is, instead of being so attached to what we believe, to be willing to loosen up our attachment to our beliefs. We can't help having beliefs. You know, we have egoic minds, we have egos, we have minds, and our minds have evolved to produce beliefs about the world and about ourselves. But we don't have to believe our beliefs. We don't have to assume that what we believe is real. If we want to know what is real, we pay attention to what we are experiencing rather than what we believe. So we can treat our beliefs as likely stories rather than as being actual true fact. If we hold our beliefs as likely stories, they may be true, they may not be true, but let's use them as a guide rather than this is dogmatically the way it is, then I think we will have a richer, saner, safer world if people don't become so dogmatic about what they believe. And if we pay more attention to our experience, then we will realize that we are all in this together.
That reminds me of the old adage of don't believe anything you hear or read, but only half of what you see.
Yeah.
In other words, no matter what's going on right in front of your nose, question it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Question it, and even more, really pay attention to your own body's experience in response to it.
Mm-hmm. Your own feelings, your own insights,
exactly.
Your own
yeah.
inner wisdom.
Yeah.
Your own inner wisdom.
Trust,
excellent.
Well, you have encapsulated a lot of inner wisdom in many wonderful tomes. Most recently, Deep Spirit, actually, Cracking the Noetic Code, and then before that, Consciousness from Zombies to Angels. But all of your books available via your websites, deepspirit.com, thewisdomacademy.org. And once again, what was your wisdom blog?
It's thewisdomblog.wordpress.com.
Excellent. We've been speaking with Dr. Christian DeQuincy, professor, author, and when is this next?
The Science and Consciousness Conference is this weekend, March 27th through April 1st in Santa Fe, New Mexico. It's not a long drive for anyone around here. And Dr. DeQuincy will be speaking on March 28th. But the whole weekend is phenomenal, so I hope people go.
Well, this has been a lot of fun, Doctor. Thank you so much for your time. Best wishes on your book. And by all means, if you ever come to Santa Barbara, look us up. We'd love to have you in the studio live.
You bet. I've really enjoyed our conversation.
Yeah,
likewise.
Let's see if we can get you moving down here. I'd love that.
Sure. I'm putting that out there. I'm working on being
intention,
not a zombie.
Intention.
Yeah.
Thanks, Kat.
Thank you, Christian. You're phenomenal.
Thank you, sir. Have a great day.
Likewise. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Take care. You're listening to AM 1290 Santa Barbara News Press Radio. Who do we have next week, Pamela?
Us. We're taking calls next week.
We'll be taking calls. Will you dress just like that?
Will you?
We should.
No. I'll put on a dress again if you will.
I don't look good in green. Yeah, green.
Yeah, that's it. I'll wear a different color dress next
time. Yeah, please do. You're listening to AM 1290 Santa Barbara News Press Radio.
AM 1290's quantum psychic Pam Owsley and Kat Shannon thank you for your time and open mind in furthering the discussion of bringing the unknown to light in our daily lives, where spirit and science evolve and revolve around each other. The viewpoints expressed in this program are not necessarily those of AM 1290 or the Santa Barbara News Press. The program's validity is for you to decide. Yet, a leap forward in mankind's expanding consciousness requires a look within. Thanks for making the leap.